Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Throws the fade, back shoulder. Cooper Kupp's got it.
Here comes Donald, and he spins Burrow around and then tried to throw it away.
Rings for the Rams. A Lombardi trophy for Los Angeles.
I've dreamed this, and it's like, it's surreal. Look at this.
World champs, baby!
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles, today's guests, Super Bowl champion quarterback Trent Dilfer, plus complete Super Bowl 56 recap and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show from Los Angeles, California, home to Super Bowl 56 and home to the Super Bowl 56 champion, Los Angeles Rams. I am your humble host here on the program. Absolutely thrilled to be here on NBC Sports on Peacock, NBC Sports Audio, Sirius XM Channel 85. This terrestrial radio affiliate smart enough to have us coast to coast, and also those who might be taking us in their ear gates on Odyssey. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial to talk about the Super Bowl. We say hello to those listening to us whenever they darn please, because it's your right on our podcast, Cumulus Podcast Network, and our YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show viewers. We appreciate you doing all of that good stuff. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman.
Good to see you, Rich.
DJ What's Mikey happening? D is in D's nuts. Good to see you. Were you at the game yesterday? Did you go?
Yes.
You did go? Very good.
Right before the final drive.
Oh.
I got out.
Oh,
if they'd come back, goodness. I would have been very upset.
What, you gotta turn around?
No, I was outside.
We gotta get into that. good to see you, TJ Jefferson. How are you, sir?
Well,
good to
Rich,
see you.
Everyone, I think about 30 and over is probably real sore from that halftime show because they were doing dances that they probably haven't tried since the early 2000s.
Well, there was a lot. I was in the stands.
DJ?
I was in the stands. It played very well in the stadium, and we'll talk about that over this 3-hour edition of the Rich Eisen Show. That'll be coming up throughout our day. And I do want to just say, to start this program, congratulations to the Los Angeles Rams and everybody here in Los Angeles who got awakened to the fact that the Lakers didn't make a deadline day trade and actually started paying attention to football over the last 72 hours and got to see the Los Angeles Rams win this football game. So the L.A. Rams, as it always usually does, it comes down to this. Making moves to say what's already been done here isn't enough, even though this was our blueprint. And they changed it up. Boy, howdy, did they change it up. They changed it up. It was over a year ago, right at this time, when they decided to go get Matthew Stafford, when it was made known to them that he was available. And they changed it up, and Matthew Stafford decided to say, I want out in Detroit, and that's the beginning of it. Yeah. They also had drafted Aaron Donald beforehand and traded for Jalen Ramsey and got Andrew Whitworth from the Cincinnati Bengals and convinced him, or he didn't need much convincing, to stick around. And they made all these moves. They did draft Cooper Kupp. They did have Robert Woods already in the shoot, and so many others, Leonard Floyd. But Matthew Stafford and all the questions about this guy, is it him? Is it Detroit? Is it a combination of the two? And right now, Matthew Stafford is a Super Bowl champion.
Yep.
These are facts. Matthew Stafford's a Super Bowl champion. Odell Beckham's a Super Bowl champion. Jalen Ramsey's a Super Bowl champion. Aaron Donald is a Super Bowl champion. Number 9 in your program now for the Los Angeles Rams, and number 1 in the hearts of so many in the state of Texas, where he grew up, and Georgia, where he went to school, where he was a first overall pick, and it's also in Detroit. Now he is a Super Bowl champion because he, in a game where his weapons were less than the ones that he came into the game with, because he took the field with 6 minutes and change left, needing to go 78 yards from his own 22-yard line and needing to get down the field against a defense that was playing lights out. A Bengals defense that took the running game straight out. And that's the way the Rams make hay, through their run game. Not just because they can run it well, but because the threat of the run leads to the play action and all of what McVay and now the new coach of the Minnesota Vikings, Kevin O'Connell, does. They make all of their hay off that play action, and the Bengals took it straight out, and it looked like Odell Beckham Jr. was having a huge night in front of him. Huge night in front of him. And then his ACL goes again, and out goes Odell Beckham, who had already scored a touchdown, and Cooper Kupp had already scored a touchdown. And after that, momentum switched. Joe Burrow and the Bengals came out of halftime and lit it up. By the way, there was a lot of lighting up during halftime as well, but they lit it up. They lit it up. They lit it up on a 75-yard touchdown to start the second half. And I understand what happened to Jalen Ramsey and his face mask, but it was allowed to stand. And it was allowed to stand, and T. Higgins goes in the end zone and touchdown. Suddenly, the Rams are down. Then an interception, because the receiver that replaced Odell Beckham Jr. had one go off his hands. And to me, those were the two momentum shifts in this game. One of them being Odell Beckham going out, and then the other one being Aaron Donald starting to make his presence felt. After that interception, okay, after that interception that gave all the momentum to Cincinnati, the guy who finally ended the Bengals' opportunity to make it a two-score game and kept it a one-score game and forcing a field goal was Aaron Donald. Sacked Joe Burrow, took him straight down, and kept it a one-score game. And then Stafford and the offense kept getting better field position, but couldn't do anything with it. Two straight possessions from midfield, nothing. And the Rams got one more shot at it, still being a one-score game, or at least a one-score game in which a touchdown would win the game for them, because Tyler Boyd dropped one for the first time all year, forcing the Bengals to punt. Rams get the ball back, and it's in Stafford's hands. And there was a fourth and short shortly after that, and the whole stadium went silent. Guys, as you know, that's a very loud stadium, the Who's House, Rams House stuff, and all that business. And the Bengals fans were just lit up. They were so excited. Their team was up in the fourth quarter of a Super Bowl and looked like this was it, because the Rams offense wasn't doing jack on top of squat. Cooper Kupp comes around the end, gets that first down. And then Stafford starts connecting with Cooper Kupp, which is a good thing, because the Kupp to Stafford connection isn't as good. And Kupp starts catching footballs, including one over the middle. Stafford threw a dart that went over outstretched arms into the hands of Kupp while he was... He threw it to a spot Kupp was going to and threw it past a whole bunch of Bengals to get it there. And then, as we all know, eventually found Kupp in the end zone after a flag fest hit. And I'll hit that later on. I just want to talk about this moment because I thought those flags were warranted inside the red zone, even though a lot was let go throughout the entire game, including, by the way, the mugging of offensive pass interference on Jalen Ramsey. But Stafford finds Kupp in the end zone. And that's what we're talking about the Super Bowl. When the game is on the line, you need your playmakers to do it. And even though Kupp was getting shut down and the running game was getting shut down, Stafford kept finding Kupp when the chips were down. And that's the way legacies are born. And that's the way guys who are filling the stat sheet in regular seasons in Detroit Lion purgatory go somewhere else, get an opportunity amongst others in a team and an organization better equipped for you. And that's the way you get a ring and put yourself right there to say, I'm a Pro Football Hall of Famer, which I believe Matthew Stafford officially became last night. Obviously, we'll hear it eventually at some point, the yay or nay. And Kurt Warner took a few cracks at it to finally get in, even though he took another downtrodden team to the Super Bowl, because the Rams were his first downtrodden team he took to the Super Bowl. But you'll hear it one day. And certainly if Stafford wins another, that would be what we call a lock. But legacies are made. McVay has a ring. Odell has a ring. And guess who else has that ring? Aaron freaking Donald.
Monster.
Now, Aaron Donald sometimes doesn't get the sack and others get the sack, but you could say that's the guy who gets the sack. But Aaron Donald, to me, what he does for this team and what he does for this team to jolt everybody is incalculable sometimes. When this game really started turning last night, certainly in the stadium last night, this game started turning after Odell went out, and then the momentum switched, and then Higgins scores, and the Bengals are winning, and then the Rams throw an interception, and Donald then gets a sack to keep it just a one-possession game. And before all that, Joe Burrow is running for the sideline, and he absolutely lights Joe Burrow up. Honestly, almost took one of his, you know, one of his lives away.
I actually thought he went a little easy on him, just giving him a two-hand shove. Like,
to me,
he could have hit him way harder.
He hit him legally.
Legally.
And it created a whole to-do on the sideline that is, you know, not his fault.
No, both of Joe Burrow's feet were inbounds, totally legal hit.
And he kind of just hit him really hard. But when Aaron Donald hits you really hard, it's like
you go really far.
It's like an Avenger hitting you really hard. Yeah. He's like a superhero. He's the thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like
he's the Hulk.
He's the Hulk and the thing combined.
Yeah.
You know, he's the Thulk, right? Right? Or the Hing.
The Hing.
You know, it's just, it's unbelievable what he does. And then he's the one, if you remember, who went lights out and beat Arizona in the regular season when the Rams needed it to start taking over the division, which they eventually won.
Where Kyler Murray was like, no thanks.
That was the end of it. And he called ball game last night because, again, years from now, the narrative will be Stafford won the game. Kupp won the game.
Wait a second.
The same way that Santonio Holmes, when he dotted the end zone, Kurt Warner got the ball back. Okay? Kurt Warner got the ball back and had a shot. When the ball went through Buckner's legs, it didn't end a World Series. There was a Game 7.
Yeah, that was Game 6.
You know what I mean? Like, when Bartman reached out for the ball, like, you know, so on and so forth.
Right.
You know, Burrow still had a shot, and when he found Ja'Marr Chase for the first snap, and he was running free, I thought he was gone.
For a second, you felt that
way. And then you
saw,
finally, Rams surrounded him and kept him from scoring.
Yeah. But it was still a 15-yard gain.
And interestingly enough, on the final play of that possession, which essentially ended the Super Bowl, Ja'Marr Chase was open.
Wide.
And Ramsey fell down.
Wide.
And that would have been ball game for the Bengals, and my entire open would have been Joe Burrow's legacy is now born and delivered to Cincinnati. And we would be talking about one of the greatest plays and comebacks in the history of the Super Bowl. But he didn't have enough time.
Yeah.
Because 99 called ball game. Yeah. Donald bull rushed and said, this is it.
Yeah.
This day has been long enough.
I'm ready to go home.
Get out of
it's
here.
Over.
I'm ready to go home.
I am done with this. We kept hitting this guy over and over again, and he's still alive, like the Godfather. He's taken so many shots, and he's still alive. And he's still got a shot here on fourth and short from midfield, and they've got this kicker who could probably hit it from here because he's so locked in. And I don't want to play overtime and maybe lose a coin toss, and I don't want to play it. I'm calling game. It's over. Mm-hmm. And he puts Burrow down, and Chase could be as wide open as he needs to be. Doesn't matter. And he does the Burrow thing, which is put this ring on my finger. And they had him on that Oculus above the field inside SoFi at that very moment, and the place went nuts. Because that was the end of Super Bowl 56. And I thought Aaron Donald was going to be the MVP. I understand why Cup got it. I totally get it. But when chips were down, man, when Odell's out and Cup did what he did, I totally get why he would get it. But when chips were down as well, the fact that Stafford and this offense had a chance to win it, not just tie it, but a chance to win it, and the fact that they had a chance to win it at all because the Bengals had all the momentum after all the smoke cleared from halftime is because Aaron Donald started making some serious plays and knocked Burrow on his ass in between the hashes and just before he went out of bounds and started setting tones. And the number of times that Stafford kept on misfiring with that offense from outstanding field position. You know, it's because Donald did what he did. Which along with the rest of that defense. And I thought that merited consideration for MVP. And, you know, and then there's now retirement talk about him.
Yeah, where did that
come from?
I don't know. And that's one of the things I want to hit here on this show. But before I take a break, what did you want to say there?
I was going to say, you know, when you talked about that scuffle after he pushed Burrow out and the whole, you know, the benches kind of cleared. Yeah. My favorite part of that was the refs let it go. There were no flags whatsoever thrown in that entire mess happening.
Because it was totally legal.
Yeah. So I mean, but normally you would have expected someone would have got, but they let them kind of sort it out. And
it's funny, there were no penalties in the third quarter, maybe like two going into the half.
Which is why Bengals fans were like, why?
They really choked on the whistle.
Why are all the flags coming now that the Rams are inside the 10-yard line with the game on the line?
But that's moved because, after they, you know, didn't call the
I mean, and I want to hit on all that on this program. Trent Dilfer is going to be joining us. He is now one of 34 different quarterbacks to have won a Super Bowl. Stafford becoming the 34th different quarterback to win a Super Bowl. He won Super Bowl 35 with the Ravens. And I can't wait to dive into his fertile football mind about what he thought about last night and everything about what the Rams and the Bengals did for all of us, for our entertainment. What an entertaining game that was. It kind of felt like, you know, a prize fight where the first few rounds they were feeling each other out. Then after halftime, haymakers start getting thrown. And it wasn't a high-scoring affair. It was just a tight, intense affair, to say the least. And I can't wait to hear what Trent Dilfer has to say. There's you as well, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. When we come back, I want to have a message for Bengals fans. One that I think you'll like and one that you might not want to hear, to be very honest with you. Aaron Donald thinking of retiring? I want to touch upon that. the Kyler Murray and Arizona Cardinals relationship keeps taking on turns that are not good, Bob. And so we'll hit that. Overreaction Monday. I watched the game in the stadium. I need you guys to tell me about some of these commercials. Mm-hmm. Then we'll talk about halftime as well. Yeah. There's a halftime conversation still to come here on the program. And then, as I said, there's you at 844-204-RICH. Number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't you go anywhere. But before we take off, I want to tell you about my friends at Callaway Chrome Soft. Callaway engineered Chrome Soft to be the best tour ball. It didn't just make the best players better. It made everyone better, including people like me. When I tee up a Chrome Soft, I know how it's going to have a different feel. It's a regular Chrome Soft, yeah, but it's designed for the widest range of golfers who want a better feel, and I'm actually one of them. More distance, incredible forgiveness, but for better players looking for more workability, there's Chrome Soft X. Excellent spin consistency and tour level short game control. Finally, this Chrome Soft XLS that gives you a lower spin golf ball on longer shots, firmer feel, but still with high spin around the greens. Every Chrome Soft is enhanced now with precision technology that uses design techniques and manufacturing specifications up to 1/1000th of an inch. This ensures they're the highest quality, most consistent, fastest golf balls possible. So when you add it all up, it's really simple. Chrome Soft is better for the best and better for everyone. Find out which Chrome Soft is right for you at CallawayGolf.com/ChromeSoft. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Bengals fans, this next segment's for you. But Rams fans, yes, it's the champ's house. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep. Because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, it's what a remarkable week it was for all of us here. We had a great time, right? And I was back home in my house by 8 o'clock at night, which has never happened in my 19 years of covering Super Bowls ever. You know, normally I'm on a flight or getting ready to go on a flight or packing up to get an early morning flight.
Or
I was
going to a
home.
Party, Rich. Come on. Now.
No. I'm a professional because you want me back here, right? You guys want me back here.
We need you back.
Thank you. We need you back. But and then you know, going with Susie brought our two boys. We left Taylor at home. On top of all of it, it's been just an interesting week of parenting. You know, I've been around. Yep. You know, normally dad just FaceTimes for, 90 seconds, 2 minutes before the kids run away.
Yeah, like once or twice a day. You're like, hey, checking in.
Hey, just checking in. But now I'm like parenting. I got stuff going on.
It's been exhausting.
And so I'm like thinking to myself all week long, like, man, this whole parenting Super Bowl thing is just, it can wear on you. Then you see the actual Super Bowl winning quarterback with his toddler children on the podium last night as he's dealing with the media.
You know, that last drive was a special drive, one I'll never forget. Just so many great plays by so many great players, and that's a little scary. Stay right here. Don't move. Just so happy to get it done, and I'm speechless.
Wait, we got to grab this one more time. Okay, so there's twin girls in his lap. I believe they're four, or they're five. They're 5 years old.
Yeah, they have twin girls. Hunter is three.
Okay.
And the littlest one is two, yeah, Tyler.
Right. I'm imagining Tyler's not there.
Tyler's not there. Okay. That's three on the left.
Yeah, it was at the edge of a podium. That's right. Probably a nice, huge drop on the other side. And then to just roll up one more time, if you don't mind, Hoskins, because the young lady, the young girl, twin girl on the on his left knee is reaching for the Gatorade bottle that's there just for show. Show.
Yeah, right.
You're not drinking. It's not there to drink it. Right. It's there for show because they have paid a ton of money for that to not be drank. Here we go.
I'll never forget. So, just so many great plays by
one girl reaches
players,
for it.
And that's a little scary. stay right here. Don't move.
Don't move.
Don't move.
You see how quick he went to dad mode?
And, oh, yeah.
I don't know.
See, someone's holding her up.
He can't pay attention to his answer. So somebody just finally pulls the Gatorade and it's just, oh, there we go. She's taking it. There
we go.
Somebody's holding her. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a hand on the left side.
To making sure she doesn't fall.
And here I am, like, I got to do all this television and then parent kids.
I like how quickly.
He's like, he can't even focus on his answer.
I like how quickly he got serious.
Yeah,
like,
man.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, well, it's a little scary.
Don't do that. Hey, sit tight.
And just once again.
I love it. It's awesome.
Winning Super Bowls and all that stuff. You don't come for the best dad ever, son. Okay? You got enough, Matthew.
He's coming, man. I mean,
come on.
Rich has to accept a challenge.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio outfit. You know?
Rich, are you going to take challenges for that title?
What, the best dad ever?
I mean, WrestleMania is coming up, man, and you haven't defended your crown.
We just showed Matthew Stafford.
Money
you know,
in the bag. Right?
Answering questions with his children on his lap, his toddler children on his lap.
Amazing.
And then just a magical hand of somebody underneath the podium, like messing with the Gatorade bottle that the kids wanted. My God, could you imagine if they put Skittles up there? It would be lights out.
Well, Marshawn would
be bedlam. It would be total bedlam. Total bedlam.
We were just talking MVP, Rich. I put up a quick poll. Who do you think should have been MVP? Donald, Kupp, or Stafford?
At Rich Eisen Show. I'll hit that with a little bit of fun.
Give us a call. See if they got it right.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Okay, Bengals fans, there were more Bengals fans in the stands yesterday than Rams fans.
I heard that.
Without
really?
Question.
I heard that. Yeah.
Without a doubt.
You want to put a number on it? 60-40?
I would go 60-40. Okay. If you want to be you know, even more generous, 65-35.
Okay. Really?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, because, you know, it's still, again, I know a handful of Rams fans who stuck with the team in St. Louis. And I know a handful of Rams fans who said, I'm done with them when they left for St. Louis. And I'm not really into them coming back. And then there's a bunch of fans who are like, okay, I'll start rooting for the team that's now got LA on there. Yeah, you know, and they're building. They are literally building. They literally built a new building in that building.
Yeah.
And Bengals fans have been waiting since 1988. They've been around since forever. And if you're sitting there in Ohio and you've been waiting for your Bengals to make a Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl is in a spot where it's on occasion, like yesterday, 85 degrees, and the weekend, I mean, it was a hot summer day, and it was a total Southern California day.
The whole week.
It was like, you know, the tourism board couldn't have dialed it up any better than this. And Bengals fans came en masse, and they were psyched. They were fired up. They were up by 7 after being down by 10, and they were up by 7 after being down by 10 2 minutes after halftime. After sitting through that whole halftime, which was still, I shouldn't say sitting, that dancing through that halftime because the place was jumping. And so they thought this was it. But they also know when that trapdoor is going to open. And they started seeing all these flags. I want to start with this first because I know Bengals fans won't want to hear this. And my timeline was lit up with Rich won't talk about the flags because he's an NFL guy. Okay. I talk about flags all the time. I've changed rules, folks. All right. Rules that stink, like tuck rules and catch rules. I do my best. I will call out officials when they blow it any single time. And they blew it. You know when they blew it? They totally blew it by not disallowing the touchdown that started the second half. In the history of the Super Bowl, in the history of all 56 of these grand games, there has never been a half, either one, first or second, ever, that has started with a snap from scrimmage first snap from scrimmage with a touchdown. It's never happened. Last night, first time. One snap, 75 yards.
He gone.
And the reason why Higgins was gone is because he, you know, turned Jalen Ramsey's face mask so hard it looked like an exorcism. And I the play went straight away from me. I was in the end zone that had Rams on it. Saw it straight there. Couldn't believe it. As Higgins grabbed it and ran for the end zone, Ramsey stood there after getting up because he was thrown to the ground. He stood up there getting up, and he stood there kind of like looking around to say, really? It was the international sip. Like, he didn't have his arms outstretched screaming and yelling. It was as simple as looking around saying, really? Like, honestly, he was kind of like John Travolta, yeah, you know, like, in Pulp Fiction. Like, really? Anybody? We're really not calling that?
Yeah, like, people.
So, Bengals fans who think that the end of the game was flag happy all of a sudden, you shouldn't have the touchdown to start the second half. That simple. Shouldn't have the touchdown to start the second half. And so, if you think they blew it at the end of the game, well, guess what Rams fans kind of think about that one. And then, I thought the penalties towards the end of the game were warranted. I mean, the cup hold on third down was absolutely a hold.
Yeah, before he had his hands around his waist.
And I do agree, though, that the play should have been blown dead because it was a false start on third down. I mean, all four guys other than the center took a step back, and then the ball came towards Stafford's way. That was a blown call, too.
Yeah.
So the refs blew that. Kupp getting blown up in the back of the end zone like that?
Helmet to helmet.
I mean, that's an easy call.
Penalty,
that is an easy call right there.
Yeah, the two plays before the third down holding, I thought Kupp got held even worse. And it seemed like it was kind of a makeup, but it definitely was a penalty.
I mean, it was Kupp just doing what he had to do, man, and doing it well.
Yeah, he was amazing on the final drive.
I mean, he was unguardable. He became unguardable in the moment where the Bengals had to guard him most. So, yeah, Bengals fans, I thought the officiating was proper towards the end of the game, with the exception of missing that false start. Should have been third down and goal from further back. Now, that would have been a different result potentially, or the fact that you couldn't guard Kupp anyway. But you shouldn't have been leading 10 seconds after halftime. I mean, I don't know how you missed that. Ronald Torbert after the game said it was not enough of a penalty, or it was not enough to change the way the play was or something like that. Not of contact. You damn near ripped the face mask off his helmet. So that's my take on the officiating. Now on the Bengals. Walking out of the stadium last night, and a Bengals fan comes right up next to me, and he is just absolutely miserable. He says to me, Rich, I can't believe it happened again. And again, this is somebody who's looked like my age, which means he would definitely remember John Taylor, you know, beating the Bengals with 34 seconds to go for the 49ers, and the last time that these Bengals had made, the last time the Bengals had made the Super Bowl. And I told him the following, and I'll tell Bengals fans the following. You got the quarterback. That is literally 95% of the game. You got the quarterback.
Yeah, no doubt.
You got your guy. Your guy is a unicorn. Your guy just needs to be protected. Your guy didn't make it through year one because he wasn't protected. He was getting, before he got hurt last year, remember what Burrow was getting his ass beat over and over and over again and kept on ticking. And that was when the narrative that you're hearing so much towards the end of the regular season and throughout the playoffs about how Burrow keeps taking hits and he's just so cool and he doesn't bark at anybody, doesn't let anything bother him, and he doesn't point fingers, and he's just chill, and then just an assassin, cold-blooded assassin, who shows up in, you know, zebra suits and Heisenberg hats, the Super Bowls, that he's led you to, because exactly what I talked about, chill, cool, assassin, and everybody feeds off his ice in veins, and then, of course, they want the ice on the finger. And I think you're going to get it one day. I really believe it. I really believe it. Just protect him. Honestly. It's amazing. Second straight year that we have seen a Super Bowl in which we saw a team win it after having seven wins around Thanksgiving. Remember? Thanksgiving weekend was the year, last year, was the time when the Bucs fell to 7-5.
Right.
Losing to the Chiefs. This year, it was the Titans coming in and just beating the tar out of the Rams. They go to 7-4. And you're wondering, oh, what's going to happen here? And second time in a row, the team that won the Super Bowl wins it in their home turf and gets that opportunity. Because the quarterback, who'd been in his spot forever, says, I want to try it a different way. You know, my brand is this team, this organization, this town. I think it's time for something else. And the second year in a row, the loser of the Super Bowl has to look in the mirror and say, we have a crown jewel that is getting beat up. And is running for his life.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs just went right at it.
Yeah.
Right at the problem.
Yeah, threw tons of money.
And drafted Creed Humphrey at the center.
Yep.
And Chiefs didn't make the Super Bowl this year. Yes. Because, you know, the Bengals did beat him. Sure. I think it's the same thing. Now, you know, the Chiefs may have better weapons at Mahomes' disposal than the ones that the Bengals have for Chase. I mean, with Chase for Burrow, but it's not too far off.
Not that far off.
I mean, I'd take Mixon over the running backs that the Chiefs have, although Mixon wasn't on the field at the end of the game.
Which was weird.
And, you know, Chase and Hill, are you, you know, I mean, it's, I know it's kind of heresy here, but the Chase is a rookie, and that's the only reason why I'm not sitting here saying that Chase isn't a playmaker on the level of Hill, or you could easily say that anyway, right?
I mean, Chase touches the ball, he could go to the house.
No, tight end is not even it's not even in the
tight
same
end's
universe.
Not close, but right. Higgins and Boyd, I mean, Boyd dropped the one last night, but that was his first
like the Chiefs
drop
are, Chiefs,
all year.
Chiefs are talking all the time about who's number two over there, and number two is Kelsey, or you could even say number one's Kelsey, number two is Hill.
Right. But two in the wide receiver two, they don't have one.
Hit the line. Hit it hard.
And defensive backs.
Well, you could say that, I think, about all 32 teams, right?
Probably, but just we're talking about the Bengals.
Hit it. Hit it. Remember what the new regime in Indianapolis did with Luck? Well, Luck said, I'm out anyway, but just hit it. Protect the crown jewel, because he's that. I'm obviously going on much longer than the guy who came up to me after the game. Because, you know, we walk fast, get to a car in Los Angeles. Not as fast as Del Tufo,
no.
Like leaving the game early.
No, yeah, Mike.
Okay,
geez.
But, you know.
I knew the Rams were going to win.
Got it.
Is there any?
But I told the guy, I said to him, it's 95%. Like, I'm telling you this percentage here. I just told the guy, you got your guy. I told him, I'm a Jet fan. Do I think Zach Wilson's going to have my team in Arizona? You know, I hope you're my inspiration. I didn't go, you know, full pizza terra on him, but you know, I told him
brother's wedding.
You've got your guy. That's it. How many teams are looking for their guy or think they've got their guy or hope they've got their guy? I mean, it's a different tier level. And I'm gonna hit that later on this week when we start turning pages towards the next part of our football calendar. But either have the guy, think you've got the guy, Boy, do we need the guy. And they know they've got the guy. That's it in the NFL. And surround him, and they've got what? Like $90 million gajillion dollars in cap space, and they've built this team very well. They've got a coach who knows what to do with it. Bengals fans, I know you're down and you're feeling really low today, but I think the future's bright. So bright, you got to wear shades of different colors and different varieties, and just like because your quarterback's leading the way.
Bengals have the third most cap space.
I mean, there you have it.
Is that the most depressing walk? The my team lost the Super Bowl, now I got to get home walk.
We were talking about it. Gent to the couch to your right last night. My nephew Jack, who's right there on the program, we were talking about it as well.
Schuster, the pipeline?
Jack Schuster. We were talking about this, my nephew, that losing the Super Bowl,
that walk
is, I wouldn't say of shame. I know you're in college right now, so, but, wow. You know, no, he's got a lovely girlfriend for 16 months, so he hasn't taken that walk in some time. But it is, it's if it ever. Yeah. No. I spit truth from this microphone.
I spit hot fire.
But
we were talking about it, and he's like, going to a Super Bowl, it's kind of like a double-edged sword. If you win, your team wins.
Oh,
it's the greatest. You were there.
We were there.
You got
all
photos.
The money you spent. Who cares?
Right.
Cry me a river.
But if you lose. If you lose.
What are you talking about?
Six Super Bowls over there.
And the only one I've been to, they lost.
His dad went to the one in Indianapolis where they lost in Mario Manningham. And so, I know that they've got a lot of yachts to water ski behind.
I don't feel bad for them, Rich.
But in the moment when you've traveled.
Yeah, all the money you spent on tickets, hotel,
and a hotel, and whatever, and just to have a front row seat to the misery.
Ugh.
It is a terrible walk. It's a brutal walk.
It's tough.
Certainly if, you know, your parking pass isn't as good as mine.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But yes.
Tough walk.
Short answer is this is we've had this conversation.
Tough walk.
All right. We'll take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. More of your phone calls. When we come back, more on this year's Super Bowl. And that halftime was amazing. We'll hit a little bit of that coming up.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Now is time for the Verizon 5G Ultra countdown of game-changing plays from the big game in SoFi. Number five is Odell Beckham Jr. opening the scoring, a 17-yard touchdown reception in the back of the end zone that just lit the whole place up, and Odell scoring a touchdown in the Super Bowl was just, is that right, over there? Okay. Just to see him scoring in a Super Bowl was just dynamite, and it's just career capping for him in so many different ways, and I hope he's okay because he was having a huge night before his knee gave way. Number four was the Bengals getting on the board with a touchdown. What were the odds that the first touchdown pass thrown by a Bengal last night named Joe would be Mixon instead of Burrow?
Astronomical.
Running back to throw a touchdown in the Super Bowl since Leonard McCutcheon did it for the Rams against the Steelers. And the last time the Rams played a Super Bowl in Los Angeles in the Rose Bowl in 1980. Number three was T. Higgins, that 75-yarder that opened the second half. First time ever a half, first or second, opened with a snap from scrimmage that was a touchdown. That's never happened, and obviously Rams fans say it shouldn't happen because he threw Jalen Ramsey down, but it did, and it gave the Bengals the lead. Number two is Kupp capping that 15-play, 79-yard drive, I guess is the official total. I thought it was 78. They announced in the stadium he started from the 22. But anyway, that go-ahead one-yard score over Eli Apple, Buckeye, getting one thrown over him to Cup, yeah, that put the Rams on top. And then Aaron Donald calling game has to be number one. Just wrapping it up, taking down Joe Burrow, same way that he blew up a play in the NFC Championship game on Jimmy Garoppolo, same way that he called game against Arizona in the regular season to help them win a division title. Aaron Donald, number 99 in your program, putting one of his nines next to Burrow's, essentially, and hectoring him all night. That was the number one game-changing play because it ended the game, essentially. With, by the way, Chase open down the sideline because Ramsey had fallen down just as Burrow was trying to get the ball out of his hands. Didn't have enough time. And that is your Verizon 5G Ultra countdown.
Verizon is going ultra, so you can too.
There you go. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
I don't know if Joe said, but did he say that he was trying to get the ball to Chase on that play?
I don't know. He was just trying to get it out of his hands because he knew it was over. He knew this thing was done.
I'm just saying, like, as he stepped in the pocket, I wondered if he said that.
He might have seen him.
That he saw
I
Chase and was trying to get it out.
He might have seen him. He might have. But it didn't matter because Donald called game and put a ring on his finger and the rest of his mates. So that's right here on the Rich Eisen Show on Peacock. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on our terrestrial radio outfit, making us all one big happy family. Let's go to the phone lines here. Jason in Phoenix, Arizona, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's going on, Jason?
Hi, Rich. I was just wanting to just put a little more focus on Stafford.
Go for it.
And just kind of, you know, I want to give him his flowers, but it seems like people are trying to take him away already and like saying he had like an all-star team and this and that. But if you really look at it, they had no running game whatsoever to speak of. And then after OBJ went down, they had just Cooper Kupp, and that was it. And he put the team on his shoulders, and they're trying to kill him for these interceptions. That wasn't his fault. That the guy handed him the defender the ball, and he overcame it all again. And he's a superhero, man, and he's just great. He deserves all the credit, and I just don't like the fact that people are trying to take things away. And who had an all-star team? Tom Brady had an all-star team last year. Did he get credit taken away from him?
Who's taking credit away from Stafford? I don't know who those people are.
Right? Yeah, I know a lot of them. I mean, okay. Detroit fans.
Send them your way.
My Detroit fans from
Detroit fans? Really? I would think Detroit fans would be happy for him. Hey, if there's
A lot of us are. I'm from Michigan, so okay. A lot of us are, but we got the detractors, and I used to be one of them, that used to say Stafford wasn't that guy. And I admitted I was wrong already this year, but we still got people that are trying to say, well, he had an all-star team and this and that. And but mm-hmm. I think he was the MVP, my own opinion. But either way, he proved himself beyond any shadow of a doubt that he was that guy, and Detroit was wrong the entire time. He wasn't the problem. Detroit was the problem. It is what it is, but either way, you know, he deserves more credit than I think he's getting at this point. That's just me.
Appreciate the call. Thanks very much. And any Lions fans out there that thinks that Stafford is anything but a first-rate, first-class individual that did his best with what he had. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding when I say this. Detroit should throw a parade for Matthew Stafford. Remember when Ray Bourque went to the Avalanche and finally won a Stanley Cup?
In Boston.
He had a parade in Boston because of his longevity there and coming so close and not getting it. Honestly, they should declare a national Matthew Stafford Day in the city of Detroit, give him the key to the city, yeah, and throw a parade. I'm not kidding. They should be so happy for him.
Right, I mean, just think about it. Because it takes... I know so many sports fans, when they talk about sports, just think, this guy should get fired. This guy stinks. This guy should get cut. This guy should this. That guy should that.
Well, it's fun.
No, I know that. I know that. But there is a huge human element to this.
Of course.
In the same way that, you know, we'll be talking later on about Aaron Donald. Like, why would he retire? Because we have no idea what it goes into being that guy. We have no idea. We just think he wakes up, he's Aaron Donald. He's going to go destroy somebody's dreams and wreck a game. Like, that's what he's going to do. But we also don't know what it takes about what he puts in his body and the discipline that it takes to, you know, avoid something. I'm sure he wants to sneak just as much as anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, and working out, focusing, getting in the room, film room, all of that stuff. So, but it had to have taken a monumental effort for Stafford and his wife to sit down together and say, we don't want to be here anymore. In Michigan, in the state of Michigan, where he made his home. They made his home. That's where his children were born. You know what I mean? Like, and so it really does take an effort to sit down, an emotional reckoning. But fans are like, oh, of course he's going to do that. Lions stink. Lions couldn't do anything for him. Well, you want to do it for the Lions because this is the team that you were drafted by and you want to be that first. You want to be the culture changer. You want to be Burrow for that franchise. You want to be the guy to be known. You took the franchise that had never done it and put on the show. You want to be Kurt Warner. Did it twice. One time he brought home a ring. The other time he couldn't. That's what you want to be, certainly for Detroit and Stafford. For him to make that reckoning and choice to say, I'm going to go in, I'm going to ask out. Had to be something else. And then for the Rams to make the choice of, we have a guy here that we put a ton of capital in to go draft. We then put literal capital on the table. We gave him his second contract because he made a Super Bowl. And then whatever happened, we still don't know. I don't know if we will ever know. But something happened with him and McVay, or him and the Rams, or him and the team, or just himself with his skill set. Yeah. Where the Rams just at some point, whether it was in a game or a series of games or a series of practices, that's the way these things go. Quiet moment, you know, Les Snead and McVay. And again, I have no insight on this personally. As you know, I know these guys, but where it, this is how it works. You sit down and go, I don't know if he's a guy. And having that conversation, it's like, uh-oh, well, we gave him all this money. How are we going to get out of that? How's that going to not leave a mark? And someone like Les Snead's like, I got it. We'll figure it out. And for those two things to happen at the same time is what you call in the football ways, it's like kismet. It's like that. You need that luck. That's luck. That Stafford at that point in time decides he and his wife that they're going to, we're out. And at that point in time, it's exactly when the Rams are like, you know what, we want to get out of this long-standing relationship as well. And our boy Smitch of the Rich Eisen Show put this together. You know, McVay and Goff on the left. And they had terrific times. We could find a happy photograph of him and Goff together. But it ain't the one on the right with the Lombardi Trophy cutout confetti coming down. That did not happen in the previous Super Bowl visit. And in order for the one on the right to happen, they had to decide to say goodbye to the one on the left. And then for the one on the right to happen, Stafford had to say goodbye to Detroit. And then what did they do? They won the division. They knocked out Tom Brady, potentially ending his career together, you know, collectively as well. It's obviously a team effort. They got Von Miller for crying out loud and Odell. And everyone knows the narrative. They win the division after going seven and four. They fall. They got out hot. Then they need to finish hot in order to win the division, which they win. Then they have to go on the road because they lost the final game to the 49ers and still winning the division. And in the one road game, they beat Brady. Then they beat the Niners for the first time in six, seven tries, gain the Super Bowl in their home, and win it there with a Stafford-led 15-play drive at the end of Cooper Kupp. But, I mean, there's a human element here. And it worked out for the Rams and clearly Matthew Stafford and his family. You know?
Amazing. It's amazing that they made all those moves and everyone expected them to kind of be here. And they did it.
And I was there before McVay. I've told this story and I'll tell it again here. On that flight home from Seattle after the Rams fired Jeff Fisher and John Fossil, John Bones Fossil, their special teams coach, was the interim coach, and they gave Goff a start, okay, up in Seattle on Thursday Night Football. Yeah. And Goff got crushed. And they're like, where, like, I got on that plane because the Rams gave me a ride home. Kara Henderson Snead, I've known her since the mid 90s. We met each other at ESPN. And I'm sitting with her, you know, we snuck a little wine on the plane, a little red wine on the way home. And, you know, it was that plane was not a fun plane ride home. And there wasn't any sense that McVay was around the corner and that the Rams would, with that hiring, become a model organization that everybody wants to get them one of McVay. They got the first. Bengals got one, made the Super Bowl with theirs, right? Version of it. And there wasn't a single ounce of sense that I could think of that two Super Bowl trips in the next 5 years were coming, let alone one at home in this beautiful $5.5 billion stadium. There wasn't anybody on that flight that maybe some thought about it or thought it'd be possible, but I sure didn't.
Yeah, that was Goff's fifth start. He had started the previous four games. Fisher got fired after losing 42-14 at home to Atlanta, and then they went up to Seattle.
You know, Gurley was calling it a high school offense. Yeah, you know what I mean?
24-3 to
it
Seattle.
Was brutal. Yeah. And they made some hard decisions, one of which, thankfully, was keeping less.
Yeah.
You know? And now they're champs. I mean, it's crazy. Everybody, oh, yeah, it was easy to hire McVay. No, it wasn't. It was easy to build this thing. No,
yeah,
it wasn't.
McVay comes and Goff makes back-to-back Pro Bowls, and they went to the Super Bowl in 2018.
And now Stafford replaces, and they got a ring.
There was only one way this season could end for them.
That was it.
And that was it.
Trent Dilfer coming up.